Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love.
Okay, fresh air, the Holy Spirit for an inspired life. And yes, this is chapter three, Simeon's
Yes.
Yep. Simeon, as we all know well, is the guy who the Gospel of Luke he describes Jesus is being presented at the temple, and Simeon, this man, he gives an incredible speech, a moving speech in Luke chapter 2. A highlight of that speech is, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the
presence.
Thank you. In the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And what our author does such a great job of is pointing out that he didn't just come up with this profound speech out of nowhere, out of thin air, but really he's drawing on the especially the book of Isaiah. So if y'all would, on the left is what Simeon says in Luke chapter 2. On the right is a passage from Isaiah. And looking at both these passages, what do they have in common, either thematically or what common phrases are being used?
So for my eyes have seen your salvation, and he says, "And cry to her that she has served her term and that her penalty is paid."
Yes.
I think part of his reference there is now he's seen, Simeon has seen the fruition of what Isaiah said.
I agree, Harriet. Mm-hmm. I agree completely. "Master, now you are dismissing your servant because something's been fulfilled." This passage from Isaiah reads, "The Lord has barred his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." What might have Simeon been inspired by in this passage from Isaiah?
He says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All peoples in the ends of the earth.
Yes. Yes. The author really highlights that, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. So really, Simeon and Isaiah are both talking about, Melody, as you said, his eyes are seeing salvation, but so will the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
It's wide open. This passage from Isaiah, "I bring near my deliverance, it's not far off, and my salvation will not tarry. I will put salvation in Zion, for Israel is my glory." What commonalities do you see here?
"Last line is repeated, and the glory of your people, Israel."
That one is a complete quotation. Yeah.
They both come back to Israel.
Yes, they both go back to Israel. So while salvation goes to the ends of the earth here, it also comes back to Israel. That's a great point, George. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him."
And now we finally got the spirit.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So what I think the author is getting at with all of this is when it comes to the spirit, in this chapter, the spirit is the author emphasizes that the Holy Spirit comes from a rootedness in Scripture and daily devotion. And it reminded me of what my preaching professor said about improvisation and jazz musicians. Because it looks like, if you listen to jazz at all, sometimes the jazz musicians will like improvise. They'll just start playing off the outside of the song. And it looks like they're just making stuff up as they go. But once a fan asked this guy, Wynton Marsalis, how he got so good at improvising, and he said, what you have to do is you have to practice your scales again and again and again. Practice your scales. What I think the author is saying about Simeon is he doesn't just come up with this speech out of thin air, but he knows Isaiah so well. He knew what to be looking for. And when he saw the Lord, he knew just what to say.
When I was reading this, I read two things that interested me specifically. One of which is that at chapter 39 of Isaiah, it stops being like Isaiah's name being mentioned from, yes, from there through 50. It's like another person wrote it. But to the Jews, this Isaiah was, well, let me rephrase that. To the early Christians, Isaiah almost became a fifth gospel, because so much, particularly the prophecies and stuff that were fulfilled. Mm. And that to know Isaiah was to know the fulfillment.
Yes. It's significant that Simeon draws on Isaiah for exactly that reason.
But would you equate Isaiah with being, Simeon, to being a priest, because Mary and Joseph sought him out?
Oh, good.
And for the purification rites, they would have to search out for a priest to allow her to be to the temple for Jesus to be circumcised?
Harriet, that's the most important point of the whole thing. Let's go, if you can, if you have a Bible handy, let's go to Luke chapter 2. The thing that's different about Luke's gospel is who shows up to see the baby. Y'all know who shows up to see the baby in Matthew's gospel?
Is that the wise men?
Yes, yes. Wise men show up in Matthew's gospel. In Luke's gospel, at the birth of Jesus, are not wise men, but
angels
and
shepherds.
Yes. Okay. So let's keep that in mind. The shepherds show up when Jesus is born, and then when he's presented at the temple, when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So that's where the priest would have come in, when they're offering the sacrifice. But in verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. So he's not a priest, he's not a prophet, he's just, according to the Gospel of Luke, he's just a man. But this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So what's his job at the temple?
He just went every day.
Judy, I think that's right. And
that he had that, you know, some people go to the grocery store every day. Well, Simeon went to the temple.
He may have been the handyman.
But then I want to
come back. So many people in the Bible are introduced by who their family is. You get a whole bunch of begats. Yeah. Simeon just shows up. He's just a guy.
He's just a guy. The guy just shows up.
Well, Anna was there.
Yeah.
And then Anna was there.
But she's a daughter of Phineal. She has some bases behind her where Simeon has nobody. No, he's not the son of anybody.
Yes.
And he's not related to anybody of note.
Harriet, you are, I'm so glad you pointed this out. Okay, so when we go down to Anna, 36, Anna's called a prophet.
Yeah. She's also called
a prophet, Anna. And George, as you're saying, we find out who Anna's father is. She's the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. We don't get anything about Simeon's background or his title.
So that goes back to why did the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, pick him?
Yes, and I think Judy has it right. Some people go to the grocery store every day. Simeon went to the temple.
We'd be better off if we all did that at some point in time during the day.
Yes, so I think what the author's pointing out to us is, what did Simeon have? He didn't have a title. He wasn't born into a particular family. What he had was routine spiritual maintenance in his daily life.
But it very specifically says, when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law required, then Simeon took him in his arms. So he had to have some position of note, I would think. Mm-hmm. The parents would know to take him specifically to Simeon.
Yes. I would
pick up on that. I think they just went in and Simeon recognized him. Mm-hmm. And them, maybe, but Mary and Joseph, but especially Jesus, he recognized him.
But the Holy Spirit was the one that the Spirit moved him to go to the temple.
Right. The Holy Spirit kind of promised him that he wouldn't die until he saw the baby, right?
Well, so that he would see the fruition of what had been promised.
Right.
The consolation of Israel.
Yes.
Yes. And Jesus was the consolation of Israel.
Right. But he's not the official priest.
He just went to the temple every day.
I think so. Because if we look at verse 24, and they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. Past tense, they had done it already. Yeah. Then there's a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. It, to me, in my reading, Simeon just took the baby, and Mary and Joseph were like, who is this guy? Who's this man who took my baby away?
Joe, it says the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do for him what was the custom of the law. They deliberately were there with where Simeon was. It was a deliberate act.
No question, they went to the temple for a particular purpose. I think our question is, what was Simeon doing?
He was letting the Holy Spirit direct him, which if chapter 2 we just finished, the Holy Spirit's in all of us, we all have that potential.
Yes, I think that's right. I think that's right. Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
Do you think Simeon was giving a confirmation of what the Lord had already made known to Mary?
Yes.
To Joseph, that this was a confirmation from God through the Spirit?
Yes. Don't you think?
So this was more for Mary and Joseph than it was for Simeon?
No. I imagine that this was confirmation, just like Harriet's saying. Mary had been told by an angel that this baby would be special. Then the shepherds and the angels showed up at his birth, and all that's confirmed by this man at the temple named Simeon.
But Joseph had his dream too.
Yes.
You know, and this was just. You know, Simeon was the viaduct. It was a confirmation for him, but it was a viaduct for Mary and Joseph to have their confirmation of who Jesus was.
I agree.
Well, Elizabeth knew too.
And Elizabeth also knew. Mary gets a fair amount of confirmation in the Gospel of Luke. But let's focus on Simeon some more. The author is calling us to focus on routine maintenance of our spiritual lives. And I want to think about routine maintenance in terms of what happens to our car if we don't engage in routine maintenance of our automobile.
Uh-oh.
That's more than routine maintenance.
Yeah, that's more than routine.
I love this picture. Do y'all see the lock on this car door? Is it a chain link on the? Well, okay.
I'm looking at the hinges.
In the hinges.
I love the hinges. Yeah.
Was there a time in your life when you couldn't afford proper maintenance of your vehicle?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. There was for us. So you start skipping oil changes, you put off buying new tires, maybe the door falls off and you find your neighbor to help you figure something out. But nobody should put off routine maintenance of their automobile because it's dangerous. You don't get four new tires on your car and you could slip all over the road in the rain. I mean, it's not a good idea. We don't let our kids, no parent's going to let their children put off routine maintenance, or they're going to wag their finger at them if they do.
I think when we needed maintenance like this, we did a lot of praying. Just, Lord, let me get through this one.
Lord, let me get through this one.
Yes.
But Lord, let me get up the interstate one more time.
Yep. Joe, I never heard anything about cultivating the Holy Spirit.
You didn't?
In my time, I have not heard anything about cultivating the Holy Spirit.
Yes, ma'am.
And the maintenance, just routine maintenance like you're talking about right now. Yes. I've never heard that before.
Yes.
I know we all have it, the Holy Spirit in us, mm-hmm. but I never heard anything about cultivating our routine maintenance of the Holy Spirit.
Is this a new concept for anybody else?
Yes.
But I know what you're talking about. Part of it is we're always so focused on our relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
And relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
The intermediary, the Holy Spirit, we don't talk about.
Well, let's take a deeper look at it, because I agree. I think my sense is that we as a people have left a lot of our spiritual education up to the institution of the church. You know, we show up on Sunday, and we hope we get something out of the worship service. But what this period of COVID-19 is calling us all to do, I think, is own our own responsibility in our relationship with God. Does that make any sense? Does that resonate at all?
Yes, I think we have to take it upon ourselves to, we have to be responsible for ourselves because nobody else is here to do it for us.
That's how it feels to me.
Right. And this verse right here, I keep reading it over and over, Isaiah 42:1. Mm-hmm. Here is my servant who I'm uphold. My chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. So all these years, I've kind of felt like God hands us the Holy Spirit at some point, but that's not what he did. He completely covered us up with the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
And we accepted him. So that means I don't know, it just makes you feel like you're covered.
Yes.
You know, you still are going to do bad things. Sometimes you're going to mess up, but you are covered, completely covered by the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus did.
Yes.
He didn't just hand us a piece of it on a plate. He covered us up completely.
I like in our book, in this chapter today on page 80, I think at the very first of the page, at the very top of the page, it has something that spoke to me this morning when I read this about meeting God every morning.
Yes.
And practicing routine listening without talking.
Yes.
And just routine maintenance. And then third, routine encouragement to our fellow Christians.
Yes, ma'am. I love that. So I think those are exactly the three things that this chapter's calling us to.
Mm-hmm.
Morning by morning. That we wake up and we, I mean, do y'all engage in do y'all have a daily devotional that you do?
Yes, but not till later in the morning.
Yes. Yeah. I think just a daily routine, a daily devotion, especially now, you know, I've always had something that I could do every day, but when life was more busy, I would let it slide if I needed to. In this time of quarantine, I've started my day with a daily devotional, because if I don't ground myself in something, I'm going to go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I start each day with, I just read it. Y'all know that book, Jesus Calling, that you can buy in the grocery store line?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody gave me that book. Joan Gray gave me a copy of that book. And I start my day with a reading from that. And then I pray through our church's prayer list. And then I just sit in quiet for about 10 minutes. And I started doing that every day. And it's made a difference to me. I feel like this chapter is calling all of us to that kind of morning by morning or afternoon by afternoon. What are we doing to cultivate the Holy Spirit in our daily routine?
Morning by morning. Sounds like the hymn, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Morning by morning. All I have need in thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Almighty God, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for time I've had together with friends. And I pray your blessing upon each one of them. I pray, O Lord, that you will help all of us to take seriously the opportunity that we have to spend daily time in communion with you. Help us to take seriously the great privilege that we have in having access to your word, to read it, and to have the freedom to dedicate ourselves to our religion, to our faith. Daily help us, Lord, to read and study the scripture, to listen to your voice and to feel your presence, and to encourage our brothers and sisters as we run this race together during such a difficult time. Be and abide with all of us and our families. I pray it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.